This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
So what drives sadists' aggression? We spoke a little bit earlier on about 50 Shades of Grey, you know, the novels, the books themselves, you know. For most people, hearing the word sadist conjures up portrayals of sinister characters or villains from horror movies and books, recognizable through a visibly frightening appearance and despicable behavior. But this stereotype may cause you to miss dangerous sadistic wolves in sheep's clothing in your life. Well, you certainly hope that you don't know such callous, heartless people, but you might know, or they might be walking amongst us. Joining us on the line is a counseling psychologist, Ntabiseng Ramotwala, to talk to us about that. Ntabiseng, good morning.
Good morning, Gwen. How are you?
I am good. King sadism. Like, please simplify it for me.
Sadism is a psychological disorder where a person derives pleasure from hating others.
Mm.
It was initially defined like that, based on sexual pleasure. So a person will derive sexual pleasure by hating someone else.
Mm.
However, over time, it now spilled over to sadist personality disorder as well. You'll find a person who consistently, as a person, just enjoys when other people go through pain that he causes. It just becomes a pleasure zone for him.
I mean, is heartless the right word to use under the circumstances? For a sadist is somebody who's heartless.
You could say that, because the more pain you feel, the more you scream, the more you do whatever you do, is the more they derive pleasure, you know. And hence, sometimes you find that people who rape women or any other person, they rape because they derive pleasure from the pain that you show when they rape you. So it's in that spectrum of things that you just want that, because it's a sensation. It's like feeling like doing something that will make you feel very, very good. And obviously you'll do it with someone that you will sleep with. Mm. And sometimes it oversteps to other areas of your life as well.
So can we spot a sadistic person?
Unfortunately, you can't really spot a sadistic person.
Because they are actually smart in a certain way. I mean,
yes.
it comes with a certain level of higher intelligence.
It comes with a certain level of high intelligence, because they become very manipulative in doing what they do.
Mm.
I think to some extent they know that they are doing something wrong to another person. So they actually have to sugarcoat it in the beginning, so that you don't actually realize that this is where it's going until you're in the web. And thereafter you are caught up. And it's up to you to actually decide that, no, this man or this woman is not good for me because he is actually hating me. I have to walk away from this. So it's a very complex disorder, but simple as well. Yes.
So they can be walking amongst us?
They could be. Yes.
They are actually walking amongst us.
Yes, they could be.
Yeah.
They could be. And what doesn't help is that there are people who enjoy shady tendencies, who enjoy being, you know, the partnership is that the other one becomes dominant and the other one is the other one becomes. So there are people who enjoy that arrangement, unfortunately. So if he gets the right partner, then it doesn't end.
So I mean, as you said, it's not easy to spot. Do they need to be diagnosed, or are there things that you can look out for, say maybe in a relationship, whether you are in a relationship with a sadist? I mean, I gave an example, 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
You know, but are there things to look out for? Because sometimes it could be, maybe I'm experimental, you know, I just love to spank, but
yeah.
there could be more to it than that.
there could be more to it than that. I mean, for me, I always say to people, whatever makes you uncomfortable with a person in a relationship, observe it for a certain period, but walk away if it gets too much. It's as simple as that. If the person is in your life, but they are continuously inflicting pain in you, whether it's emotional pain or physical pain, and you don't enjoy it, why are you still there? So the symptoms may not be obvious when you meet the person, but as you are with them, and some of them obviously will take the coast with you. You know, throw in the seat once in a while, ask you questions that may make you realize that this person will want me to do this, or they will do this to you. If you hint that you may agree, then it means they will do it to you without feeling guilty. However, there are those sadists who don't even ask for permission. It is more exciting for them when they do it unexpectedly and they do something painful to you and you're screaming for help and they continue doing it. So it depends what kind of a person you meet that will inflict pain on you in whatever form. So, yeah, the first sign of pain and displeasure in your life by another person that you don't appreciate, do something about it.
Is there a difference, and I'm sure there is, a significant one between a psychopath and a sadistic person?
To some extent, there is, because a psychopath may be involved in other areas of dysfunctions in the society, you know. But a sadist is specifically looking at himself, looking at primarily pleasure from sexual pain and bodily pain or emotional pain during sex. But a psychopath may do anything that can hurt anybody in the wide spectrum of things in a psychological disorder, and that can cause psychological pain and trauma in another person.
And you know, speaking of psychopaths, there is a statistic saying that says radio presenters. True story. I'm not making this up. Radio presenters have a tendency of some sort of psychopathy. But another statistic says CEOs in America, apparently over 20-something percent, I stand corrected, of CEOs.
That's a lot.
Are psychopaths. So most CEOs and radio presenters are psychopaths. Just thought I should throw it out there. So how then, Ntabiseng, can one deal with a sadistic person if you then start seeing the signs that some sadists? Yes. How do you deal with it?
I believe for the first thing is to ask yourself, how does it serve you as another individual? Some individuals may enjoy it, and it may be an exhilarating part of the relationship that excites you all the time. Then you say, I mean, I know some women stay in very, very bad sadistic relationships and abusive relationships, but they can't go out because they can't even tell you in your face as a therapist that I actually enjoy this man, you know. So some people would want to enjoy it, but others stay because of other circumstances. For instance, because this person can give you a car or can give you money for petrol or any other thing that holds you to them. And remember, sadistic people are very clever and manipulative because they know what they do is not entirely acceptable. They will do something to hook you in first. And once you're hooked in with that particular thing, you think of the luxury that you live, the life that you live, and now you're going to let go because of this simple, stupid thing that happens when people are not watching. So what's the big deal? So ask yourself how it affects you. And secondly, what is the long-term effect of that in you? Is it going to be a traumatic thing? Because it may start as if it's a game, but later on becomes very, very traumatic for you. So it's going to be traumatic or not. And thirdly, if you know and you feel in your sense of being that it's uncomfortable for you, walk away.
So, I mean, and unfortunately, we're running out of time. I see Lara Croft, she enjoys sadistic tendencies. You know, does it go back to that whole thing of sometimes toxicity also being, what's the word that I'm looking for? Being contagious, that you end up wanting this thing, even though it might not be good for you.
Yes. Remember, generally, as people, we seek attention. We die for attention. And because we seek and die for attention, if you don't get healthy attention, you end up saying any form of attention is okay. And you don't actually verbalize it, but subconsciously something that...
You end up settling for that.
You end up settling for that. And that's where you start having tendencies of even accepting people who are going to hurt you. In your mind, you're saying, at least. You know, that's why I hate people who are in the relationship and say, but at least, or like a cruiser. At least, Maruena Kamu, we are suffering. So it's important to clarify and take out all the negative things that you don't like in the relationship. And if any of those are pointing towards you not being fully functional in that relationship and happy, walk. Just walk. You know, there's nothing better than going away from something that is bad for your emotional well-being, because later on, unfortunately, it becomes traumatic experience. It may manifest in different ways in your life because you stayed in a relationship that's not doing any good for you.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a complete topic on its own about just walking away.
Just walking away.
It's very hard for many people to do that.
Just
finally, and Tavi saying, should then people who, show signs of sadism or feel that they might have that kind of issues, or if you realize, should they seek help?
I think they should seek help because it's not a healthy way of expressing love. Although they will say it's because I love this person, that's why I do things that I do, and hence their victims also feel like the person loves them. But it's not a healthy way of expressing love, so they must seek help. And another thing is that they might observe is if the symptoms have been in them for more than 6 months or so. If it's something that has been in your life, in your pattern, the way you do things for more than a comfortable time, then really, really seek help, because it means to some extent you have sadistic tendencies.
Tavi Singh, how do we get a hold of you?
On my cell phone number, 076-142-2459.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for taking time to speak to us. Appreciate your time and your insight.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Gwena.
Counseling psychologist Ntavi Singh Ramotwala. Let's leave it there for today. It's 6 o'clock. Here's Nompumelelo.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.